Hi, this is Kara from the Pure Rock Shop on 91.7 FM, WNJR, Washington, Pittsburgh. I'm on the line with Jack Russell, the original voice of Great White. Hi, Jack. Glad to have you on the show today.
Hey, nice to be on the show with you, Kara. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
You know, if I was any better, there'd be two of me. if there was two of me, they'd be singing for one of them, be singing for the other band.
There you go.
I'm just joking.
I know. Well, you know what? I'm kind of enjoy it as a fan. I get to see two bands playing the songs I love, so I won't complain.
Right, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know, things are great right now. You know, we're working on the new album. It's going to be just nuts. It's going to be really heavy and not too heavy. We're still going to have, I got a really awesome blues song.
Okay.
And it's just a total tearjerker. But the rest of it, I want to be heavier, you know, because we kind of really went all over the place in the last record. And we wanted to do that. You know, we wanted to do something out of the box. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to have another, oh, that's just we expected, you know what I mean?
Sure.
You know, some people said that. Oh, it just sounds like another Great White album. I'm going, are you kidding me? Really? Rap on a Great White album and a song with more than three changes? Come on. So, you know, it's exciting right now. I got signed 8 record deals this year and got... the Twice Shy album coming out acoustic and the Hooked album coming out acoustic as we go. They're going to release my Shelter Me album, which has never been released here, which is my first solo record, which is just bombastic. Great album.
Very cool.
So we're very, really, very excited. There's a lot of great stuff going on. And, you know, we're doing one more record with Frontiers, and then, you know, I'm gone, you know? It's just, you know, I already signed deals with the label and with Cleopatra.
Okay.
And, you know, I've known Brian Pereira forever. He's right downtown. I ain't got to worry about, you know, what time's in Italy, you know? Did you understand what I said? You know, oh, yes, quite frankly, so happy to make an acquaintance. Like, what? Well, you know. Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
So you said that you're going to be working on that acoustic album a bit today. So that'll be coming out on Cleopatra?
Yeah, I just got to do some fixes because the vocals are like right there. And then I got to finish singing Babe, I'm going to Leave You. Because we just put that one on. Because Brian was, hey, man, how about putting a bonus track on? I'm like, well, what can I do? That's, you know, from the Once Bitten album. I thought, well, we can't, like, you know, do some All Along the Watchtower or, you know, and go, hey, let's do Babe, I'm gonna Leave You, because we've never done that except on, we did that thing for MTV Unplugged.
Right.
That was so well received that even on the Led Zeppelin special, they included that version in the Led Zeppelin special. And I was like, whoa, what an honor, you know?
Yeah, I almost forgot about that when you guys recorded that acoustic show. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. I checked it out online the other day. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny? When me and Mark were backstage listening to the Led Zeppelin tape on a cassette in a boombox, like, oh, don't forget this part, dude. Oh, and that part. No, don't forget that part, Jack. I go, okay. We weren't even sure of the arrangement, right? And then we went out and we rehearsed. And the rehearsal version blew away the one that we had. Everybody in the audience was like, oh, my God. We just saw a moment. And we went and did the one that was shown. And it was great, but it wasn't as amazing as the first version. And we were like, God, I wish that would have been the one, you know. It just had a magic to it. I can't explain it, you know. It was just really, really cool.
You know, when we talked last year, Jack, you had mentioned how much you love writing with Robbie, so tell me a little bit about you know, working on this next studio album with him.
Well, you know, we're right back at it, you know. It's like, we don't let anybody near the studio. It's like other guys go, hey, I got an idea for a song. Okay, why don't you record it and send it to us? we don't want to jinx it, you know? And let me get out these headphones. I think I'm cutting out.
Okay.
Let me do that real quick. Take me 1 second.
Sure.
Or maybe two is the way I am, so.
As long as you don't drop your phone again.
Is that better for you?
Yeah, it was going in and out, but it's not bad.
It was kind of going, I'm hearing this click, and I never does that, so I'm wondering if it's just uncooperative because I have an interview. It's like, we'll screw this one up. Every other word's like, Kindle. I'm like, I didn't say that. Wait a minute. I love Kindle, but I ain't going to talk about
it. Okay.
except for Kindle. Oh, man.
We'll leave it to Greg. He'll edit this out for me.
I just, somebody sent me a bunch of pictures from the 1984 Judas Priest tour that we did. And I was just like, wow, I got so many memories, you know? And then somebody sent me, my first wife, she had a scrapbook that she had, and there was actually the first itinerary from the first tour we did in 83 with Whitesnake overseas in Europe. And I'm going, oh my God, I'm the only one that has one of these. You know, it's just amazing. So, yeah, it brought back a lot of memories. You know, I have a lot of great memories of Mark. You know, I wish we could just bury the hatchet and not on each other's heads. You know, it's just kind of like, say, look, dude, okay, you know, I did this, you did that, you said this, I said that. But, man, we've been friends since I was 17. We started a band. I'm 57 now. Mm. You know, do you think we could at least have a conversation? We don't got to get back in a band again, you know? That ain't going to work.
Right.
But I just miss my friend, you know?
Yeah, that's got to be hard. A lot of history there. It is hard.
Oh, so much history, you know, and I forget about it, and then something will kind of, you know, so, and, you know, yeah, there's so much history. I mean, you know, you play with a guy for so many years. I mean, when I first met him, you know, he had called me, and you know, I've read interviews, and, you know, I've listened to him change history, you know, and it's like, okay, well, if you want to rewrite history, you know, I've got all kinds of magazine articles of you saying something totally different, you know, but I'm not going to put them out there because I don't want to embarrass the guy, you know?
Yeah.
But, cheese. I don't eat cheese. I'm doing an interview. nom, nom, nom. You better understand me anyway. You put a block of cheese in my mouth. I could be talking. I should be attracting rats. Anyway,
I'm used to.
Yeah, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was gonna say I'm used to some comedy with you, Jack. I remember one time interviewing you on the bus, and you kept opening your Sharky cookie jar and making me laugh.
You remember that? The Sharky cookie jar. I forgot all about that. I wonder what happened to that thing, man. I wouldn't have that thing. And the cookies that were in it. You know what I mean? I got a great story for you. We lived in this little house, right? I mean, it had to be like, you know, the main room was like, you know, 10 by 12, you know what I mean? And then it had a little kitchen and a little bedroom where my roadie and his old lady slept. And when he left for work, we slept in with her too. But it had like this little service porch, you know, and it had a little shower and a toilet and a sink, and there was a window in behind the toilet, and I'd go in there and take your clothes off, put them on the floors, nowhere else to put them. You take a shower, you come out, and every once in a while I'd be missing a sock. Now, these are the days back when you had the tube socks with the, you know, they're like the PE socks, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You had like red stripes and yellow stripes, you know what I mean? So I'd come out and there'd be one missing. I'm like, what the hell? What happened to my sock? And I'd be like, oh, well, I must have, you know, I don't know what happened to it. And this goes on for a couple months. Every 4 or 5 days, I'm missing a sock. And I'm starting to get freaked out because I'm going out on dates, right? You know, and I take my pants down and she could go, hey, your socks don't match. I go, what do you mean? I got a pair just like this at home. You know, so one day I'm walking around the backyard and I'm checking on the level of the beer cans. which we threw out the kitchen window. When they got to a certain level, we knew we could take them in to get more beer. And so I'm walking back there, and for some reason, I walked behind the house, which I had never done, right behind the bathroom window. And behind the window, there was a bunch of piled-up socks with hash marks on them. And I'm like, oh, my God, somebody's been wiping their butt with my socks. And I go, Kendall, I know it. I went in the house, and he's sitting on the couch playing the guitar. I go, dude, you've been wiping your butt with my socks, and don't tell me you haven't. Okay, well, you know, sometimes you run out of toilet paper. I go, dude, use your own socks. What are you doing using mine? You know what I mean? Whoever had as many as you. I go, you do now. You know what I mean? So, oh, God, those are the days. We had some fun times. You know, nobody had any money. It was like you had a choice of buying beer or food. And I was like, well, beer is kind of like food, you know, plus you get a buzz. If you eat food, you just get full. So let's just get beer, and we'll have, you know, hops and barley, which is a food, you know. And we'll get buzzed, too. You won't think about being hungry. So, you know, it was a lot of fun. We had a blast. And, you know, when I first met Mark, I was in a band with Audie, actually, my drummer.
Yeah.
And I had left this progressive rock band. You were like 22, and I was like 16, and we were playing the Starwood in Hollywood, all these big gigs, and I was like, wow. You know, but it was a prog rock band, and I was never really into progressive rock. You know, mm-hmm. I was a song with like 38 parts and, you know, lyrics that were like, what? You know, oh, green, toilet bowl, life, butterfly, you know. And you feel like, okay. And so I left them. I wanted to get back to a rock band. But these guys weren't playing originals. So we were playing backyard parties. And I'm like, man, I did this when I was 13, you know, 12. So after, and there was a band called Zizzix, all right? Okay. And they were the crosstown rival band. But, you know, I never heard them, but of course they sucked. You know, all those guys suck. You know what I mean? Never heard of them. They suck. They probably said something about us. Oh, they suck. You know, so I get a call from this guy named Mark Kendall after the band because they wouldn't go original. I said, dude, I got to find an original band because I'm not going to make it playing cover songs in the backyard. Well, we're just not ready yet. I go, well, you know what? I am. Bye-bye now. So I get a call from this guy, Mark Kendall, and he says, yeah, I'm the guitar player for Zizzix. I'm like, oh, man, those guys suck. And he wanted me to audition for him. And I'm going, hey, no way, man, those guys suck. So he keeps, this was his story. He called me for like 6 months. He said I had the flu for like 6 months. Because every time he called me, I'm like, oh, I'm really not feeling good, man, you know. And finally I figured there was the only way to get him off my butt was to just go down there and jam with him and go, okay, you guys suck, gotta go. So I went down there Mark picks me up. The first thing I see at my door is this big, giant, tall guy with this really freaky, curly hair, a big, giant head, white as an albino, wearing yellow satin pants. You know, don't you pick me up? And I'm like, oh, this is going to be strange. So we drove, and we're talking. He's a nice enough guy. And we get to his house, and I walk in. And, of course, there's the fat drummer, and he plays side stick. And I'm like, you don't play side stick when you're a rock band. And I'm like, okay, so that's one check. And then I look over at the bass player. He's got a mustache. And back in those days, if you had a mustache, you were in a Three Dog Night. You know what I mean? you didn't have facial hair on stage. And then, you know, and there was Mark, of course. And, you know, I was like, okay, this will be fun. So we played. They had the same songs we were playing. We guys play at backyard parties. Like, yeah, you know what, dude? I got to go. Thanks a lot. I got to go. Mark goes, dude, hey, come on up. I want to show you something. He pulls me into this other room. He starts playing these songs. And I'm like, ew, who's that? That's awesome. He goes, that's my stuff. I go, really? I go, I'll tell you what. I'm jamming with the band right now doing originals. And they got a drummer that is just not, you know, doesn't have it. He had, like, Coke bottle glasses and Not that there's anything wrong with that, you know, mm-hmm. but he just didn't have the part. And he wasn't that good of a drummer. And so I said, look, I'll quit these guys, and you quit these guys, we'll start our own band right now. So he packed up his equipment, said, so gotta go. And we drove over to the guy's house. I had my PA, and we picked it up. We strapped it on top of his green station wagon. We drove over to my parents' house going, yeah, we're going to make it, man. We're doing it, you know. And I knew once I met him that this was a guy I was going to get famous with. Yeah. And, you know, we went through a lot of changes and this and that, but eventually, you know, we pulled it off, you know. So, I mean, we used to practice interviews. He used to live in my house, my parents' house, and we used to practice interviews like, you know, hey, so how'd the band get together? And Mark would go, oh, well, my uncle's cousin's best friend and sister-in-law knew the guy who owned the stereo. And he moved across the street from him, and that's how we got together. <We're> like, <"What?"> You know, it was crazy stuff, but I mean, I remember all this stuff. It was such a good time, you know? So many great memories, you know? But what are you going to do? All good things come to an end. But like with Robbie, you know, there was a chemistry Mark and I had. And after the years went by, it just kind of, you know, more songs were written by Michael and I than Mark and I.
Okay.
You know, because Mark was kind of doing this Stevie Ray Vaughan thing, and I'm like, that's not who Great White is, and that's who I want Great White to be. You know, this is my band, and that's, you know, I don't care what they say, you know, it was my band. You know, that's why, you know, when I told the band in 2005 and said, hey, I'm taking a year off because I just got out of Betty Ford and, you know, the band's taking a year off. Everybody's like, I can't take a year off, man. I can't make a living. So this Mark was laying tile and, you know, all this, it's just, anyway, point being mm-hmm. is, well, getting back to what your question was, you know, okay. Mark and I mean, Roddy and I really have something special. I can't explain it. It's like when we get into his studio, we call it the Hit Factory. Okay, Hit Factory now for business, you know.
Okay.
And we just, there's a certain chemistry to our writing that, I don't know, I've never let anybody work on my lyrics with me ever, ever. You know, I was like, no way. And every once in a while, I'll go, hey, how about this? He come with a really great line, you know.
Okay.
And so we start writing songs together, you know. And so, you know, it's anyway, there's just a certain chemistry and the songs you write are, you know, I don't know, they're nothing like, I mean, they're always going to sound kind of like Great White because of my voice.
Right.
You know, and it's very distinct, and which is good.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of singers that just have a voice, you go, okay, that just sounds like a cover band guy's voice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention any names, but, you know, there are a lot of people out there, you know?
Right.
And, you know, so, all right, we'll figure it out. Anyway, so, yeah, you know, every time you write, we don't really have any preconceived ideas of what we're going in. We don't go, okay, we need one ballad, two mid-tempos, and, you know, five rockers and a blues song. You know, we just write what we write, and if it sounds great, we put on the record, you know?
Sure.
Or for this record, we've got some other songs that aren't heavy enough for the record I want to put out. So for the first time ever, I'm taking songs and I'm putting them on the back burner for the next record.
Okay.
You know, so I can keep this one really heavy. Because I just want this one, I want people to realize, yeah, you know, Jack and Rock, you know what I mean? When the people hear the Shelter Me album, they're going to go, whoa. I mean, you can look at, if you haven't heard it, go on YouTube and, you know, Google Jack Russell Shelter Me full album.
Sure.
And you can listen to the whole record, and I'm telling you, it'll blow your mind. I mean, the comments afterwards I read are just like, whoa, really? God, man, I'm just like blushing, you know?
Yeah. Very cool.
So, yeah, I'm really excited that's going to come out because it was only released in Japan. That was years ago. But the music's really timeless. I mean, it stands up today. You know, it doesn't sound like it was made in 1996, you know?
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So, yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff happening. You know, a lot of really, really great stuff. I got my book's coming out this year. I got a documentary coming out this year. You know, a couple albums coming out this year.
Yeah, sounds like you're busy.
You know, I'm producing a couple bands this year. Yeah, it's just, there's a lot going on, you know, a lot going on.
Excellent. Well, you know, we're looking forward to seeing you playing with Warrant at the Hard Rock Casino in, in Cleveland. That should be a fun show. What can we expect from the live show?
High-velocity folk music. I mean, from the minute we get on stage, it's nonstop. You know what I mean? It's just, everybody loves what they do. Robbie's like a whirling dervish. Me and him, like, almost collide 10 times nightly. You know, we're like, whoa, that was close, but it looked so cool. You know, so, you just expect a really bombastic rock.
Excellent.
And this is why I love being, that I always want to be direct support. I don't want a headline. I want to be direct support.
Okay.
Because the problem with being a headliner is, you know, everybody that goes to see the band that's direct support may not want to stick around for the headliner.
Yeah, that does happen sometimes.
You know, and also you're like, wow, where did we go? Oh, Jack's band split. You know what I mean? So I don't want the same thing happening to me. Oh, all the Warren fans left, you know? So, of course, you know, I'd rather just like, okay, follow that, you know? It makes me work harder, you know? And the Warren guys are really dear friends of mine. I love them to pieces. And we love playing together because they're a really great band. I mean, you know, I miss my friend Janie. But, you know, Robert Mason, I've always been a fan of his. He does a really good job. And he doesn't try to make it his own. You know, he sings like Janie would sing it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's some singers out there that have replaced other singers that take the songs and just bastardize them. And you're like, why? Why did you do that song? Man, it used to be so cool, and now it sounds like a lounge act. You know? There's some bands out there that are like that, you know, and I don't understand it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think some of those bands like that, they should do like what Journey did, you know, and find that guy that sang real close to the original. You know, but then again, some singers, you can't really find somebody duplicate their voice.
Mm.
Some are easier, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, I think Robert's been a great fit for Warrant. I think...
He's great, man. Robert's great. And, you know, the coolest thing about Janie, and it was weird, I met his widow in the most unusual circumstances down by my boat. She was coming out of this Cheesecake Factory. I was walking up the dock, and her mother came out, and she goes, hey, a rocker, huh? I go, oh, yeah. She goes, hey, you might know my son-in-law. You ever heard of a band called Warrant? I go, yeah. She goes, well, my son-in-law's name is Janie Lane, but he's passed away. I go, Janie? Are you kidding me? I'm Jack Russell. He's one of my best friends. And she goes, oh, my God. She goes, my daughter Kim's in the restaurant. Would you like to meet her? I go, yes, of course. So she came down on my boat for like 2 hours, and we just talked all about everything. And I go, you know, Janie saved my life by, you know, I hate to say it, by passing away, because it really inspired me to start straightening up my act, even though I didn't do it at that time. But, you know, it was a lesson later learned.
Right.
But, you know, and she said, well, Jack, you know, you saved his career, his legacy. I went, what do you mean? She goes, well, the last thing he did, he was out, you know, doing Great White for you. And I go, yeah, I know he didn't want to do it because he told me so. He goes, I don't want to do this. He goes, but I'll do it for a favor for you. And I said, thanks. And he went out there and he did it like I would do it, you know. Mm. All the little innuendos and things I would do, I was like, wow. And she goes, he did it really, really well. And he was sober. And that was the last thing he did. So you really saved his legacy. Yeah, well, no, he saved it by doing well, you know. But it was really flattering, you know. He's just a great guy, and I miss him. I think about him every day.
Aw. I don't mean to make you sad.
I miss him so much.
Aw.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm so sorry. I'm just telling you what, but. You know, when it comes to him, I am. Anyway, on a happier note, this guy in the Spice bicycle has the most grotesque uniform I've ever seen. These bicycle guys wear like a turtle shell on their heads, and they feel like they got dressed in the most hideous clothes, you know? And they got butt pads sewn in their pants. It's like, dude, I hope those got charcoal in them or something. You know what I mean? They got like deodorants in them, you know? Anyway. That was from One Extreme of NX.
That certainly was. Well, I'm sorry to have made you sad.
Jack. No, no.
I didn't mean for the conversation to go there, but it was a great story.
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. And, you know, I was just thinking about him the other day, and I remember I was reading this article I did just today, and I found, and I said, it was talking about how, you know, when I did, when Janie died, somebody goes, dude, you got to go onto his MySpace page. This tells you how long ago it was.
Right.
Because you need to go onto his MySpace page. I went, why? He goes, just go on there. So I went on there, and on the front, there was two pictures, one of him and his wife, and one of him and I.
Aww.
And singing on stage.
Aww.
And the caption said, the boys, and, yeah, I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
And it just blew me away because I had no idea how much, you know, he respected me. And you know, to be up there and then just, the only pictures he had was one with me and one with his wife. That was just like such an honor, you know.
Right.
So it was, yeah, you know, it was a very heavy moment. So anyway, enough of that.
Yeah.
I gotta get off the Janie train. The car's gonna be, the car will be full of water. I'll open the door and water will come in. I guess go to a car wash? Well, kind of.
We'll try to get it back together here. I'm going to wrap things up, Jack. I'm going to let you get off to the studio. So,
edit it all, and you'll probably get like a 20 minutes of something that makes some kind of sense.
Yeah, Greg has to edit this, so he's going to love me for this fun conversation.
He'll tell 10 stories and answer the question.
And you remembered the question, though. That was what was so impressive. 10 minutes later.
I don't know. Sometimes I'm like that, more focused. And so I got to go sing today, so I'm really not focused, except on anything but singing. So everything else kind of just goes, bounces around like a pachinko ball in my head, you know?
All right, well, here, let me do a wrap-up, and then we'll... Okay. So, Jack, thank you for joining us today on 91.7 WNJR, Washington, Pittsburgh. We look forward to seeing you with Warrant at the Hard Rock Casino on March 23rd.
Well, it's going to be great. Thank you so much for your time. And just so you know, that wasn't me. I'm a Jack stunt double. I did interviews for him. So if he sounds kind of crazy, it's just me. Anyway, but thank you very much, and we're looking forward as well. So everybody that's in this, please make it out to the show, or you're going to be the guy going, man, I should have went to that show. So, you know, don't be that guy or girl.
Cool. Thanks, Jack.
Hey, thank you very much. Always a pleasure, and thanks for the memories of the cookie jar.
Yeah.
That took me back. Took me back. I hadn't thought of that since probably that day.
Yeah, I forget what year that was, but I think we were in Buffalo, New York.
It was a while ago.
Yeah.
Man.
All right.
Well, anyway, thank you so much, Kara, and you're lovely, and I love chatting with you, and thanks for putting up with my, personality disorders.
Oh, thanks so much, Jack, and, you know, I'll see you later this month.
You got it, huh?
Okay.
Love you.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.